On today's Compassion Radio.
One of those things that we have to keep in our minds, when we're waiting on the Lord, we're serving Him.
Yes.
During this time of self-isolation, some people are having it forced on them.
Yeah.
There are ways to continue to serve. We live in such a precious time of connection and communication with internet, cell phones, all of these things we have at our fingertips can keep us connected. I'm praying that it is a positive.
Well, Sandy, welcome to our broadcast. I know it's an unusual time for you and I to sit down across the mics from each other, but today is an extraordinary kind of day. It's not business as usual for us.
Not anywhere.
Or for anywhere in the United States or the world at this point.
Right.
But we're not afraid to sit down and talk about things that are eternal. That's what our heartbeat is.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to be part of the broadcast today because I think it is a critical time, not just for our family and our local body of believers, but for all of us around the world. Like you talked about so many times, that it is our family around the world, the kingdom of God, that we love so deeply and we have passion to serve them and support them. I think this is a good way for us to do that. Bringing out the good things that we know God is going to do.
And is doing.
Is doing.
My intention for the program was to get some updates from a lot of our ministries that we partner with around the world. And I put the feelers out. How are you responding to the things that are happening in your country in light of course, the COVID-19 infection that seems to be rattling most people's nerves right now, including governments? To a person, they all said the same thing. Can we talk next week? We're up to our ears right now in dealing with how we're going to respond. Pray for us right now. And these are people that either have small ministries that are focused very intensely on projects that we've had a passion for, like saving orphans off the streets, or other multinational organizations that are placing the word of God into all kinds of cultures and language groups, or who are doing relief work, or are doing development and evangelism work across multiple nations. All of them are saying the same thing. We'll be glad to tell you the story, but we can't do it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, led me to say, well, we're praying for you.
Right.
Know that we are, and know that we'll tell the people on Compassion Radio the same thing. But the important thing for me right now is, in light of that we're not going to get reports back for a while, what do we need to do in the time that we have?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're often told in Scripture to wait upon the Lord, which does not mean sit around twiddling thumbs. It means get busy doing the things you can do in the situation you find yourself. And that's what we're doing today.
It's interesting that you brought up that scripture, actually, wait upon the Lord. For so long in my life, I read that as wait around.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there is an element of truth in that interpretation of the scripture. And I cannot remember where I heard this, but at one time I heard a speaker speak on that verse and they likened it to a waiter in a restaurant and how they wait on the people they're serving.
Right.
And
standing at the ready.
Exactly. Yeah. And that struck me so deeply at that time. And I've thought about that multiple times over the years in situations similar to this, when we're just not knowing what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You're famous in my heart for saying, just do the next thing, honey. And and then I have to figure out what the next thing is.
I'm glad I'm famous somewhere.
You are. Yeah. But it's one of those things that we have to keep in our minds, that when we're waiting on the Lord, we're serving Him.
Yes.
That is a mindset to get ourselves into if we're wondering what to do, what the next thing is to do during this time of self-isolation. Some people are choosing that. Families are choosing that. Some people are having it forced on them.
Yeah.
During that time, there are ways to continue to serve. And I think we live in such a precious time of connection and communication with internet, cell phones, all of these things that we have at our fingertips can keep us connected. And I'm praying that it is a positive outcome, that people use it in a positive way to connect and to continue. Like our church is doing a Bible study online, and I think that's fabulous because people can join in.
The opportunities and the misfires that can happen in a time like this are great, especially when the opportunities and the tools with which we have to work are great.
Mm-hmm.
100 years ago, someone rode around on horseback and said, shut it down now. Don't go to the church. Don't go to the stores. We have an epidemic. And you had no real news. You wouldn't know what to do. Maybe to crank up the phone on the wall and try to get somebody across the country to tell you what was going on in New York, whatever. But it would be very expensive and it would have been very difficult to try to connect with anybody to get real news. You're waiting for the newspapers to come out. This epidemic, of course, is a very fast-moving one. It's contagious. So like catching the common cold, it moves that fast, if not faster. So we're in an age of information, which also means that we're in an age of misinformation.
Fear can come from that.
Misinterpretation, I think, is the biggest problem, correct? Right. So if we're talking just about human nature here, the chances for us to misread the signs or to overread or to overreach and to cogitate on the things that are not productive, to be spending all of our mental cycles worrying.
Well, we can find a demon behind every door if we're not careful.
Indeed. And at the same time, we know that these tools are right there for us to use to build community, but we're not living in an age that wants to build community very much. Mm-hmm. Just think about the kind of rhetoric that is thrown around on most of the social media sites. There seems to be an expectation that people are going to be rude and that one's going to shut them down or expect better. We're expecting people to be more profane in public. Not that we like it, but we're expecting it to happen.
Right.
In all of our media, we're expecting there to be a breakdown of civility in the way we talk to each other. We just expect that now.
It's sad.
Now, of course, in the church and the kingdom of God around the world, we should be expecting something far different. No matter how profane or how angry, how mean and how selfish the rhetoric might be in the world, we are commanded to think and to speak in ways that bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ and to esteem him to each other. That's the prime ethic of how we should communicate. Through the radio, this is a medium through which we can communicate ideas, but it's more than that. This is for us to build a community. And what I mean by that is we're going to lay some things on the table for you to study, to look at, to contemplate, with the hope that you will communicate with each other and even with us.
Right.
And let us know what God is telling you in a time like this.
Well, it would be great to hear from people about their thoughts on the things that we discussed today.
Yeah.
They can email Compassion Radio, or they can go to our Facebook page and post the thoughts that they're coming up with, the things that God's laying on their heart in reading these scriptures that we're going to share with them.
If you want to email me directly, it's bramfloria@compassionradio.com. And our Facebook page is just look for Compassion Radio. You'll find it there too. We would love to hear your thoughts, and we might even use them on the air. That's how we get a chance to make the most of the mic that we have. In the meantime, I want to focus on a portion of scripture that about praying. And I want to get in context what Paul was talking about when he talks about praying in this book. The chapter I'm thinking of is the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. So if people are sitting out where they can actually turn to that scripture with us, we'd love to have you do that. It is probably the earliest of the epistles that Paul wrote. So while we're reading through the book of Acts in our Chasing the Word series on Mondays, this would have been happening during those missionary journeys while he was working his way through Corinth and on to Athens. He wrote a letter back to Thessalonica. Up there, they were deeply rattled by something, and they needed a lot of encouragement. This book was not so much about theology, although he mentions a few things that need to be clarified near the beginning of the book. The rest of the book is nothing but encouragement in their time of uncertainty. I don't know all that they were going through at the time, but something rattled them enough that Paul needed to write a deeply personal and meaningful letter.
I know that you want to focus on one particular verse, but I'd like, if you don't mind, to read a couple of verses around that verse.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to read 16 through 18, a great grouping of verses. Starting with 16, it says, "Let joy be your continual feast. Make your life a prayer, and in the midst of everything, be always giving thanks, for this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus."
This is good advice, and it sounds beautiful.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being rattled and having anxiety your baseline, and then hearing this beautiful passage of how to be rejoicing and prayerful? It might sound good, but it might also irritate you.
With me, I'm that kind of person.
Like, I'm not there right now, Paul. Right. And you're telling me just to relax, to thank God for things, to celebrate good stuff? It seemed a bit much.
Yeah.
But I'm with you in that I'm not focusing just on one verse. It is how we lead into that question of what should we pray about, that we got to talk about how we should pray.
Right.
And that's what I want to talk about today. Earlier on in that chapter, he's talking about how to treat each other ethically. He's saying, don't get all worked up. Don't throw back evil just because you feel offended. Don't react to situations.
Right.
Act in Christ-likeness. And Christ does not hurl back insults. He does not throw back evil if he feels like he's been offended or hurt.
Right.
All those things are being spelled out earlier in the chapter. So obviously people are deeply offended about something, and the church is coming apart at the seams. You know, our families are churches too. They are the atom unit of a fellowship, of a congregation. And if you're single, you still have some relationship out there you might consider family. If you're truly single and widowed or divorced and feel like you've got nobody, then the church becomes your family if you are looking for that. But for the most part, the people that we're talking to right now probably have at least a few people they would consider family. Mm-hmm. That is the unit upon which the rest is built. And within that unit, it informs and educates and trains us for every other relationship outside of that unit. So if our orbits around the center of our family are all whacked out and we're not working well together, if our entire atom is agitated mm-hmm. and is not functioning correctly, it will affect everything else outside the family.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, if our church family is not functioning properly, if there are things that are untruths or things that are not like Christ or based in Him, they will radically rupture or disrupt what happens in the fellowship locally.
Mm-hmm.
And then if the church is all messed up, it's going to affect the kingdom, all those other congregations out there. If they can't trust the people that are worshiping one place, they won't interact with them. And then there's a breakdown in the civility and the community, the communion of the saints.
Right.
We've seen that kind of disruption all around the world at many times when civil Christianity in different countries is used to justify violence.
Yes.
And has caused great distress in countries where they assume there are no Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And the Christians who are there wonder why they were abandoned. And we as a ministry go in there to say, no, you're not forgotten. There are many Christians that have not forgotten you, are praying for you, mm-hmm. and are wanting to help you in the ways that we can.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what God's enabled us to do right now.
Yeah.
That's where we find ourselves often as we travel.
Mm-hmm.
As messengers of peace, not just in the world, but of God's peace and God's people, saying, in peace, let's come together and pray. Today, I'm reminded of an interesting detail I learned years ago about the Chinese language symbol for the word crisis. It's a contraction of two symbols that stand for danger and opportunity. I find that fascinating. Folded into one word are deep implications for the situation that we find ourselves in today. How many times in history has the church found itself in crisis? Sometimes we bring it on ourselves, but other times God seems to allow us to be exposed to great dangers. I think the ancient Chinese scribe that coined their term for crisis got it exactly right, and on a spiritual level. The world is in shock right now. As people of faith, we have a real opportunity to face that crisis and trust God and to make Jesus known, and to do it by the way we respond. And that is my prayer for you today. I'm convinced that true compassion has real power when it's rooted in the truth of God's presence and promises. It's why that very word is in our name. Whether getting Bibles into closed countries, relief supplies into dangerous refugee camps, or providing training in theology books to barefoot pastors as they begin their ministry, these are all the kind of things that we love to share with you every day. And more importantly, they're the kind of things we like to do. You know, for 75 years, Compassion Radio partners like you have absolutely been up to the challenge. Will you help us get ready for the next big faith challenges and opportunities of 2020? Your gift today will provide the means for us to begin some new initiatives with our Bible and relief partners that reach farther than we've ever gone before. It begins with you and your brave investment in kingdom communication and kingdom action. Every time we go to the front lines of faith, it inspires your faith and your giving to the Great Commission as much as it does ours. Here's how. The first and best way to reach us is through our website, CompassionRadio.com. It's available 24/7. Our safe and secure order form there will get your gift to the places needed most, and we'll do it right away. You can also support us with a call during Pacific Time business hours at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. You can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, no matter where you are. Of course, you can also put a stamp on an envelope and mail your gift to our Compassion Radio office, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. However you give, we'd love to hear more about why you believe in Compassion Radio. We so much value your messages and letters. And know this, your gift is deeply appreciated. Thank you for loving us in this way.
And I'm always so encouraged when we meet these people, because the absolute relief that you see in their countenance and the joy that comes from knowing that there are people around the world praying for them is so joy-filling to me. It just brings the joy out in me again to see that we are able to communicate that to some people who feel, like you said, abandoned.
And it's not a selfish sucking up of all the good drops of goodness they can find. You know, they're not saying thank you so much and then ending there. They so often turn right back around and say, oh, let me praise God with you for this. And they will pray a very open and passionate prayer of thanks for the people that sent us.
Right. And then they want to know, how can we pray for them?
Yes.
How can we pray for people in your country or in your area? And I think that is so sweet. That is the thing that is so beautiful about the family of God, that we can share in that communion, in that joint prayer for each other, and know that God hears it. I was talking with one of my friends earlier this morning, and she said, I don't know how God does it. He knows all of the pieces of all of this craziness that's happening in the world right now. Yeah. And she said, he is ordering my steps in such a way that I am learning more and more to trust him.
Yeah.
She also said, if he's doing that for me, I know he's doing that for you, Sandy. I know he's doing that for other people around the world, and he sees it all. God is sovereign over it all, and he has a plan for each of us. And here's it. It's overwhelming to me. And as a mother of four children, I know sometimes I'm like bombarded with mom this, mom that, you know. But God is never overwhelmed by the bombardment of prayers that we offer up to him.
Even if they're ones that don't seem to be reflecting the personality of Jesus, even if they seem very anti-Jesus in the prayers, and if they're his children, he's going to listen.
Yeah. Well, our children can be selfish. And so we, in turn, can be selfish in our prayers to God.
They can.
But when he says, make your life a prayer, I like that in the translation that I read earlier. Yeah. Make your life a prayer. Everything about who we are is offered up to God in worship or in prayer.
But let's talk about the how. We're not just saying it automatically or of its own will jumps up to God and says, listen to me. He is not listening to the words. He's listening to the person. Mm-hmm. When you're in front of me and all I'm looking at is your lips and listening to your words and not paying attention to how you are as my wife, I can completely miss what you're trying to tell me.
You would never do that.
Never. And yet we still have these problems of communication sometimes, right?
Right.
Because we're talking about a relationship, not just about encoding words with meaning.
Mm-hmm.
God is the same way.
Yeah.
He is listening to you when you pray. Mm-hmm. He's not just listening to the words you think he wants to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He knows you. And we need to know each other and be willing to know each other at times of great stress. So let's go back to the scripture here for a second. I want to focus on verse 16 here in 1 Thessalonians 5. It's often translated in English as rejoice evermore or always rejoice and then pray without ceasing.
Mm-hmm.
The Greek literal is always be joying. We talked about that from the book of James last week. And then the next verse, 5:17, says unintermittently be ye praying. In other words, don't keep pausing and cycling around or fits and starts.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to pray, pray.
Yeah.
Get through it. Now, I'm not thinking so much about it being some kind of ritual, like we just keep uttering prayers nonstop, although there are sometimes where you can't do anything else but keep praying literally with words.
Right.
I think it has to do with the scatterbrainedness of us when we're derailed all the time. How many times have you started into a prayer that you knew you had to say something important to God or had to confess something that he was saying, you need to face up to this? And we keep getting distracted.
Mm.
We keep starting and stopping, starting and stopping. We never even finish the thought.
Mm-hmm.
That is a spiritual battle at times. And sometimes I think it comes from the outside. The devil does not want us to get to that thought because he knows how powerful it is to confess the truth.
Mm-hmm.
How powerful it is in us when we recognize and confess to God who he really is.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll fight very hard to throw things at us to get us off the main thing. There are other times when it's really us.
Yeah.
We have let so many other thoughts crowd in, and we have not taken responsibility for bringing those thoughts captive, and we don't know what to do next, that we just keep cycling back around to the thought that we're trying to get rid of.
Yeah.
And we don't finish praying the prayer that asks God to help us.
Mm.
That, to me, is somewhat what he's saying about pray without ceasing. In other words, pray and get through it.
Yeah.
Don't stop.
Yeah.
Don't stop until the prayer is prayed.
I think what you said about our own thoughts getting in the way is mostly true for me because I tend to be more scatterbrained, especially when I'm tired, it's hard to get through a thought quite often and to really pray the deep things that are on my heart with any kind of clarity. And I often find myself in this spiral, you know, what am I saying? And I just, oh, I think I just said that and repeating myself. And those are the times when I have to consciously quiet my spirit and my physical body.
Yeah.
Maybe just go sit on the couch. I have a place that I like to go and sit that I can see outside the front window of our house, and I can feel peaceful there.
Yeah.
I can just sit there and quiet myself and not say anything. And I think oftentimes we think we have to be saying something, or there has to be thoughts that are trembling in our mind, or that there are words that are coming out to be in communion with God. But I think the more I walk with God, the more I understand that there is communion in quiet as well.
If there's a person there with you.
Well, and I'm talking about God being there with
exactly. me. Exactly. I think about the times that with our kids before our daughters left for college. We try to be intentional about taking time with each of them, and that often meant just getting away from the house and go do something together. And because we live in the edge of a exurban area, we've got lots of farms around us, but we're very close to the freeway in central Texas. It's not like we're out of the middle of nowhere, but we do have stretches of road that we can go take walks on, and we would often take long walks. We knew the area very well. We knew exactly what we would see every single time, but it was kind of revisiting those sites and those corners, and we knew what kind of traffic was out there, and we'd walk the dogs. But we talk. And the talk usually wouldn't kick in until there was a time of silence where you'd cover some ground. You knew you were away from the house, away from the phones for a few minutes. And then your reset button would kick in and you would start thinking about the person you're with.
Yeah.
And then the conversations would start. You might talk about deep things. You might just talk about what the next thing is, encouraging them through what they're going through next. And those are beautiful times and they're great memories. We try to emulate that even by phone now and just kind of take time for each of them. Not because it was easy to do it, but because they were important.
Yeah.
These are important times. And the way we build our habits now and the way we pray and the way we spend time with God, the way we spend time with each other and how we spend that time is going to be crucial to the spiritual health of our families, ourselves, and our churches. And that's why we're bringing it up now.
Yeah. I think it's important, too, to go on to the next verse in verse 18, just saying, in the midst of everything, always be giving thanks. One of the things that tends to go first in times of stress is your thankfulness. We tend to not see the things around us, the things that are even right in front of our faces that we have to be grateful for. I have a sign on our mantle that says, live thankful, and it's F-U-L-L. In putting that up there, I want it to remind me to be full of thanks. It's not always easy. I tend to be a pessimist. And it's easy for me to go that direction. It's easy for me to see the half empty glass and to see the difficulties and the issues that we face. It's easy for me to see that the boys left their socks in the living room. Not that we still have children at home that we can love on. You know, it's easy for me to see that you left the lid off the toothpaste instead of my husband is here and healthy and he's actually brushing his teeth. I don't know. But it's easy for me to see
the negative. When have I ever left the cap off the toothpaste? Seriously.
It's easy for me to see the negative things. And I have to make a conscious effort to see the good things oftentimes and to live with a grateful and thankful heart. Honestly, that is one thing that combats discouragement and disillusionment and depression. And all kinds of sadness, if you're just living gratefully, having a thankful heart and offering that as a prayer to God. And if you are in a situation that you are surrounded by so much negative, to be able to just say, okay, I'm going to sit down and list just a couple things that I am grateful for and offer those to God right then. And that is the prayer of your life. That's making your life a prayer, just being able to offer those few things as a grateful heart.
That's a great way to focus on doing something practical. We'll talk about some more things, too, as we finish this conversation. And we're going to keep going for a while on this because these scriptures are just great. Paul didn't start with pray. He started with a whole bunch of other stuff to clear our hearts and our minds out. Sandy and I will pick up that conversation on tomorrow's broadcast. In the meantime, know that you're being prayed for, and we love you, and we thank you for spending time with us here in Compassion Radio. Power, oh, he has raised me. In our time of trial, we need to remember that we have millions of Christian family around the world who are praying for us. I know it sounds strange, but it's true because we've met them. Thanks for supporting us with your gift. Simply go to our website, CompassionRadio.com. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. You can also send your gift by mail to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. God bless you, friends. Join us for the next Compassion Radio or online at CompassionRadio.com.